Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
It's my honor to introduce our speaker for today. I am excited to follow her work. I am just in awe of anyone who goes into the mission field. I remember when I first became a Christian, my first prayer was, just don't make me a missionary. Happily he didn't. So he has put so many beautiful, brave hearts out into the mission field. And I'm sure that you're going to find that Sarah is one of them. So I give you our speaker, Sarah McCloy.
Good morning, church. So I'm so excited this morning to get to share with you a little bit about my journey to Japan and the ways that God has really worked in my life to bring me to this place. So in about a month, I am going to be flying out for Japan. And have made a commitment to live and work there for at least 4 years, maybe a little longer than that. We'll see what God has in store. But I want to start this morning by sharing a piece of scripture with you that's been really important in the journey for me. And it's Matthew chapter 9, and I'm actually going to start in the 35th verse, which says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So a prayer led me to Japan. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, please send more workers to Japan. And I first heard that prayer in 2018 on a short-term mission trip, and I was sitting in the back seat of a van headed to a ministry project in Tokyo when I heard this alarm go off on a phone. And Gordon Wong, an IM Global servant and now a colleague of mine, he turned off that alarm and said that prayer. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, please send more workers to Japan. And Gordon shared that every single morning at 9:37 a.m., a little alarm would go off on his phone, and he would pause whatever he was doing and say that prayer. And so then he offered an invitation and also a challenge to those of us on the team to pray that too. And so when I came home from Japan, that became one of my prayers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, please send more workers to Japan. And I'll be honest with you, when I first started praying that, I didn't think that God would be sending me. I thought he'd probably send somebody else. But I was open to being sent, and I was praying for God to direct my path. So I actually first felt called to be a missionary back when I was a kid. If you go to the next slide. So I actually grew up in a very Christian house. So both of my parents are pastors, and I grew up right down the road from here in Work County. And so I grew up in church all the time, and my parents read Bible stories to me, and they just poured into me spiritually and were just wonderful guides in the faith. And so I was pretty young when I decided to become a Christian and to follow Jesus. And I can remember even as a little girl feeling that I needed to share about Jesus with other people. I can remember taking my Bible and going and writing little practice sermons and preaching it to my stuffed animals just so that I was ready to share the gospel with people. I was an odd little kid. But so in high school, I had the opportunity to go on my first short-term mission trip, if you go to the next slide, a trip to Bolivia with my family. So I was a freshman in high school, and we went to Bolivia, and God just opened my eyes to how big he really is and how big the Christian community around the world is. And I could just feel that I was being called in some way to respond to that. God really planted a seed. And I wasn't quite sure what that was going to look like, what exactly this mission thing meant. I was still a freshman in high school. And so I wasn't quite sure, but then later in college, I had the opportunity to study in Rwanda, in East Africa. If you go to the next slide. And so there I was studying international development in Rwanda, and I showed up to an internship at a children's home. And on my very first day at the children's home, I thought I was going to be working in the school there, but turns out my boss had some other plans. She knew that I was also studying theology, so she decided that I was going to lead all the nightly devotions for the kids. And then they had a church that met there on Sunday morning, so I was going to preach in the Sunday morning services. And then I also ended up running a dental clinic, which is a whole separate story that I won't get into. But so even though I wasn't planning on being a missionary, God has a funny way of working things out for his purpose. And so there I was, doing the mission thing. And so one evening, I went on a hike with some friends, if you go to the next slide. And so Rwanda, it's called the Land of a Thousand Hills. So there are these beautiful hills everywhere, and my friends and I would love to go on hikes and just sit among the beauty of God's creation. And so on one evening, as I went, I just cried out to God with all of my confusion and resistance and questions about this mission thing. And I heard very clearly God's response, "You know what I have called you for." So I accepted the call to be a missionary. And so coming back from Rwanda, jumped into preparing for that, if you go to the next slide. Ended up going to seminary down in North Carolina at Gardner Webb, and studied pastoral care and counseling, and was able to do student ministry with the college students there and work with the campus life, and just had a wonderful time in learning and ministry and growth there. And so I didn't quite know at the time how all these different pieces of preparation, God was going to use them in Japan. But I find that if you say yes to the things God asks you to do, you'll be really surprised about how he uses them later in life. And so if you go to the next slide. So after seminary, I had the opportunity to do a couple of different things. So I worked as a hospital chaplain for a little bit during COVID down at St. Mary's Medical Center in Huntington, West Virginia. And so I had the opportunity to be present with people in their times of grief and loss, and really care for them and help them to connect with God in moments when they really needed him. And so that was a really big blessing. And then also had some opportunities to work with international ministries and their short-term mission office, helping to prepare teams and things like that. And then also ended up working in the public school system for a little bit. So taught at Work County Primary Center and taught elementary music for a little bit. And then also ended up doing some interim preaching at a church as well in Ritchie County, a Goose Creek Baptist Church. And so all of those little bits and pieces that I wasn't quite sure how God was going to use all came together in this calling in Japan. If you go to the next slide. So the place, God's call in our lives is a journey. And for me, this has been really literal as well as metaphorical. So I first began to feel called to be a missionary in South America. And I accepted the call in Africa. And I'm following the call to Asia. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, please send more workers to Japan. That faithful daily prayer, it stuck around in my thoughts and prayers long after I returned home from Japan. But it's not the only moment. If you go to the next slide. I remember the joy of meeting high school and university students in their conversational English classes. And we would get to just chat with them about whatever it was they wanted to talk about. Life, music, movies, anime, whatever it was that the students wanted to talk about. But always the conversation would come around to why had we come all the way to Japan to help them with their English. And we could say, well, because of Jesus. And so we could share the gospel with them through that. We could invite them to Bible studies that were happening. And so it was so funny how just little things like talking about a movie that they were really into, or like a Korean pop group that one of the girls loved to talk about. She showed up to Bible study just to talk more about Korean pop. So it was so amazing to see how God was working in those conversations. And I remember, too, at the kindergarten, we spent a week there at the kindergarten volunteering, and lots of churches in Japan have kindergartens as part of their ministries. And when the kids would see us out and about, they would bring their parents up to meet us, and they would say, these are the Americans who've spent the week at the church kindergarten. And the parents would ask, well, why had we come all the way to Japan to volunteer at the kindergarten? And we could say, because of Jesus. And again, we could share our faith with them. And I want to share about one student in particular, if you'd go to the next slide. A student named Mire. And I met Mire in her high school English class, and she invited me to spend the weekend at her home. So I eagerly accepted. And so I spent that weekend with her and her parents, the Isakas, and they took me around Tokyo and taught me some about Japanese culture, introduced me to lots of yummy new foods. And then when it came to Sunday morning, the Isakas had a plan. So they knew at this point that I was Christian, but the Isakas are not Christian, they're Buddhist. And so they knew enough about Christianity to know that on Sunday mornings, Christians go to church, that's a Christian thing. But so they decided what they wanted to do was take me to a Buddhist temple and teach me a little bit about their faith. I said, okay, we can do that. And so I found myself that Sunday morning standing on the steps of the Buddhist temple as Mr. Isaka explained how to pray to Buddha, which of course I didn't do, but I listened respectfully as he explained. And then we drank this strong, bitter green tea from these little bowls, and we watched the wind blow through the temple's bamboo forest. So that's what you see on screen there. That's what a bamboo forest looks like. And so then later that evening, as I sat on their apartment couch and played the game Othello with Mire, the conversation turned to the topic of my life and my faith. So why was I a Christian? What was it like to attend seminary? Why did I want to be a missionary? How did my Bible get so worn around the edges? And what were my favorite things to read in that Bible? And so as we finished talking about my favorite scripture passages, the conversation turned to the topic of music. If you go to the next slide. So Mrs. Isaka is actually a music teacher, and she loves songs from all around the world, but she's particularly fond of Christian hymns, despite being Buddhist. And so she pulls out this Indonesian harp and begins to play a song, and I instantly recognized the tune. And together we sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And so I remember these beautiful moments, but I also remember the spiritual darkness. If you go to the next slide, and then the one after. Thank you. So Japan is primarily a non-Christian country. The country is actually majority Buddhist or Shinto. And so only around 1% of the population of Japan is Christian, and that's across all denominations. And so that's around 1 to 2 million Christians in a country of over 125 million people. So something that helped this number make sense to me, because I'm not much of a numbers person, is actually vending machines. So you can see the vending machines there on the screen, and they love vending machines in Japan. You can find them everywhere. You can find them all in a row like that. Even out in a random field, you'll find a vending machine. They're all over the place, and you can find all sorts of things in them. On my most recent trip, I saw one that was just different types of pears. It was a vending machine just for pears. Saw another one that was cake in a can. It was all just different types of cake in a can. So you get the idea. The vending machines are everywhere. There are around 5 million vending machines in Japan. And so what that means is that you're more than twice as likely to find a vending machine as you are a Christian in the country. So there are people who can go their whole life in Japan without ever having met a Christian before. And that's why evangelism is so needed and so important there. So that's primarily what I'll be focused on, is evangelism and then also education. So if you go back to the map, thank you, I'm going to be living and serving in the city of Sendai up in northern Japan. So if you find the little star on the map, that's where Sendai is at. And it's up in the Tohoku region. And it's a city of around 1 million people. Which sounds pretty big for West Virginia. I think we have about 2 million people in all of West Virginia total, but that's considered a small city in Japan. So for comparison, there are about 30 million people in the Tokyo area. So lots of people. And you may have heard of Sendai before, because if you remember in the news in 2011, there was a big earthquake and tsunami in Japan. A major natural disaster, and the area that that tsunami hit is the area around Sendai. So Sendai was part of the area that was impacted by that. So now if you would go two slides, there we go. So what will I be doing in Sendai? Well, part of what I'll be doing is working with Shokei Gakuin University. So Shokei Gakuin is actually a Christian university. It was founded by Baptist missionaries in the late 1800s. And so I'm going to be doing a couple of different things there. Part of what I'm going to be doing is teaching and working with the conversational English classes there and getting to know students through that. And then also working with the chaplaincy department and supporting their various ministries and outreaches with students. And so a really unique opportunity about Shokei Gakuin is that even though it's a Christian university, most of the students there are not Christian. And so it's a place where I can very freely share about Christ with students who desperately need to hear about him. And then the second piece of what I'll be doing is working at Shokei Baptist Church, which is the local Baptist church there and affiliated with the university. And so I'll be serving as an assistant pastor and supporting their various ministries and outreaches. Particularly, they're looking to do more work with children and with international students. And so I'll be coming alongside those efforts. If you go to the next slide. So I'd like to end by sharing a quote with you that has meant a lot to me. It sits on a little whiteboard on my desk, and I pray it often. And it's by the author and theologian Frederick Buechner. And Buechner says that the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And so I pray that God will always direct my path to that place where my deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And I feel like Japan is just that for me. If you go to the next slide. So if you are interested in partnering with the ministry and in supporting it, there are a couple of different ways that you can do that. So the first and most important is prayer. And so if you'd like, I do have some prayer cards. You can pick one up in the narthex. And you can hang it on your fridge or put it in your Bible as a little reminder to pray. And specifically, I'm still waiting for my visa to arrive from the Japanese government, so my departure next month is dependent on that, so if you'd be praying that the Japanese government would hurry up, that'd be great. But so prayer, and then also, if you'd like to stay in touch, you can follow along on my social media at Sarah in Sendai, or sign up for my emailed newsletter at internationalministries.org. or in the narthex. And then last, still raising financial support. And so there are a number of different ways to do that. So thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. I look forward to hopefully talking with some of you at lunch. So thank you again, or rather, arigato gozaimasu.
Thank you again, Sarah, for being here with us. It really makes those ministries and missionaries that we're giving to, when we get to see them in person, it just really helps us to connect so we can specifically be praying. So please stay after.
Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in ways that we never should.
Glorify. and watch us where we go. And help us to be wise in times when we don't know.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.